Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the Ramble Room. This is Diane, and I'm kind of by myself today. Ken's sitting here, and he'll jump in if I flounder, but I am talking today to Michelle St. Louis, and she is a famous homeschool advocate, and I am not a famous homeschool advocate, but I am a homeschool advocate.
That's the first step, is knowing the law, knowing your rights under the law. And if you have questions, like I said, you can reach out to me and ask, and I will be glad to help you, because that's what I do. But that's the first step. The second step is to just breathe and have confidence that you've got them. Like we said earlier, you taught them how to hold a spoon, you taught them how to use the potty and tie their shoes. And guess what? Most of it, if you think back, how much teaching did we actually do, and how much of that was them learning through observation?
Right.
Which was the whole point, right? Let the children observe the world, let them watch, and there's nothing they can't learn, right? Your biggest thing, the biggest thing you can do, and we already hit on that too, is that it's not even age appropriate, not even age necessary, is teaching them to read. Because once you get your child to read, there's nothing they cannot learn.
Right. And I knew that's kind of my specialty, but I know a lot of people who just think that that's the one thing they can't do. And I tell them the same thing as about all the other ones. Do you know how to read? Then you can figure mm-hmm. out how to show someone else how to read. And the big thing there is just waiting until they're ready, because most of the time they want to at
right.
a certain
and
point. Wait till they want to.
Right. Wait till they want to. Never, ever, ever, ever push it. And if your child starts struggling, that is when you stop. That's mm-hmm. not when you double. There's a time and a place to double down. Okay. I am a queen of double down. Okay. But when you are teaching when it comes to education in general, you cannot double down with your kids. You've got to know if they're hitting a brick wall, because you think back at all the tears that you shed as a kid when you were hitting a brick wall and your parents and your teachers were just pushing, and what happened? The harder they pushed, the worse you felt.
Mm-hmm.
It made you feel stupid. It made you feel incompetent. You hated it.
Right. And we're not talking about not having discipline or accountability. Right. There are certain things that you eventually have to accomplish, but everybody does them at a different time and in a different way.
Exactly. When there's a brick wall in front of you, when you're homeschooling, you have to step back and reevaluate. Is there something we could be doing differently? Okay. Are mm-hmm. they ready? Are they not ready? Right.
Right.
Is this within abilities today?
Which
just because it's not in their scope of abilities today doesn't mean it's not going to be next year. You just don't know. I mean, they're children, they're growing, they're changing,
right?
And
don't forget that you're taking your standards from the system that you just left.
Exactly. You cannot duplicate or replicate that, because the
you don't want to
it's outside of natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's not natural. It's not natural to sit in a room full of people your own age and to be force-fed thoughts and ideas.
Right.
And it's not natural. And I mean, I use a very unorthodox math curriculum, and I absolutely love it. And it's actually very comprehensive, and actually helped my daughter learn how to read.
Hmm.
So it's awesome. It's you're gonna wish that it was around when you were homeschooling, Diane. So Fred. It is story-based. It's about a five-year-old. So it starts out kind of silly, because it's, you know, when it starts out in the book called Apples, the elementary series is in alphabetical order. And it starts out in Apples. And that's a kindergarten-ish book, right?
Mm-hmm.
About a five-year-old college professor named Fred Gauss. And it goes through, and it's just these stories about his life, right? So the whole book series, from the book Apples all the way to college level calculus and statistics, okay,
mm-hmm.
is how the series goes. Mm-hmm. And in the very first book, the author's intention is to get your kids to want to get to calculus, because
mm-hmm.
he tells mm-hmm. that you will find that out in Life of Fred Calculus, but that you will find that out in Life of Fred Calculus. So these kids spent all these years doing these math books, right, reading the story.
Mm-hmm.
And dying to know why did this happen? How did this happen? Right?
So cliffhanger math, huh?
It's cliffhanger math designed to get your kid to want to get to calculus.
Uh-huh.
So it's interesting, but there's art history in there, American history, world history, science, music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is When I say it's comprehensive, I mean, one math lesson is grammar and literature even, and one math lesson is just very, if there's not even that long.
So it's kind of like they've made a unit study out of math.
Yes, and it's very, so like if there's a day and it's just gone to the pot, if we got math done, I would be okay.
Yeah.
Because I knew kids learned in one math lesson more than the majority of government educated kids did in that same school day.
Yes. Well, and that's another thing that I have been telling parents for years is that they're worried about that their kids won't be up with everybody else. And I tell them, if you take the time to sit down with your kids face to face, one on one, to teach them, just that fact puts them ahead of all the other kids in public school.
Exactly. And the thing is think back. Do you remember all the dates that you're supposed to memorize to pass that test?
No.
All the arbitrary names and places and other strange, how deep the Amazon River is.
No.
Do you remember that?
You remember no. Stories.
Exactly. And was any of that pertinent to your life today?
Well, maybe some of it. I don't know.
Yes,
but if it is, I can go learn it again.
Exactly. And so they're putting the focus on things that don't even matter. Weird things like, sure, if you remember it, you might win Jeopardy. I don't know. Out in everyday life.
Or Trivial Pursuit.
Right. So parents, don't be intimidated. First of all, they can't come after you. If you do your letter, I hate my parents to comply, but you don't want them to come and knock at your door.
And it's one thing.
One thing, once a year, it's invasive. I completely and utterly disagree with it. And this year, Diane, I'm not doing my form until my district gets their crap together because they're selling our information. And I found out about it, and I'm putting my foot down. Mm-hmm. But and I've called her to the carpet, and I'm hoping she actually loses her job. But so you got to be aware of that. Also, you got to be able to stand up for yourself when it comes to your children's information. Do not give them on that form. And if you go to my website and you print off that form, do not give them any more information than is requested or required by law. Okay.
Would you please say that your website once again very clearly so it's that people can write it down?
Right. WYHomeschool.com. So it's basically WyomingHomeschool.com, but just abbreviated. And, on there, we've got in the resources, you'll see where it says like getting started documents or just I've got it broke out. So you can get all three on one at one time or you can get each separate. So the letter of withdrawal is there. The annual curriculum submission form, which is our letter of intent, is also there as well as the state law. And like I said, I've got the state law written out. You can print all of these out. I also recommend to everybody when you use my forms, print off the law and send it to your district also. Because I do this to my district every single year, and every single year that lady violates the law. Every single year.
Yes.
And so you have got to know your rights. And you have to know your rights. You have to know the law that applies to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to know the rules and regulations pertaining to your job. So you have to know these things. You have to know what the state law says. And most importantly, what the state law does not say. Because if
right.
the state law does not say, that doesn't mean I cannot do it. However, that means that the districts cannot. Right? They
right.
can't. If it doesn't give them the authority to do it, they can't. And so that's what protects you. Is what it doesn't say, that's your protection.
I know there are several websites that will help you out with that. There's also, it used to be called How Homeschoolers of Wyoming. I think if
right.
you look that up, you can still find that website. And for me, a lot of times they'll encapsulate the law. I really like knowing where to find the whole thing. Not that I want to read 542 pages of the Wyoming Education Statute. But I would like to make sure that people know where to find that if they're the kind of person who does like to read that sort of thing.
Right.
So, I like the context. So I know that you can go to wyoleg.gov, wyoleg or ledge.gov, and you can click on the Constitution and Statutes. And the educational statute is Title 21. And the part that we need for to find out what we have to do to homeschool is 21-4-101. Is that right?
Yes, let me pull it up. There are actually a few. Let me go here. I've got it broken down. It's on the PDF too. And I think I actually linked to where you could find it on the... It's really difficult to link to the Constitution on our thing. So we've got 20... It's 21-4-102B.
102, okay.
There's several, so this might be just the other portion. 21-2-401.
Mm-hmm.
And then 21-2-406. And then 21-2-406A. These are pertaining to private education. So yeah, 21-4-101A.
Right, because Article 1, the 21-4-101 is the article that specifically deals with compulsory attendance and tells you, here's the one thing you have to do.
Right, and that's the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then 21-4-102, and that's the compulsory education. That's the other thing. Do not include your children on that packet unless they are 7 by September 15th. If they turn 7 September 16th, they do not need to be included on that packet. Never, ever, ever give these people more information than you are required to. And it goes to 16 of the same. So if your child turns 16 on September 14th, you do not have to fill out that packet for your 16-year-old. So
right.
So that's very, very important. But yeah, and then also looks like 21-4-301.
Okay.
And that's pertaining to the school year and your required days of instruction, which, mm-hmm. come on, we discussed this earlier, we're having a lifestyle of learning.
Right.
So even if yes. you didn't do school, if they learned anything, guess what? That was a school day.
Exactly. Somebody else was kind of worried about that the other day, and I said, count everything. I count everything. I'm not kidding. Count everything.
Exactly.
Did they learn how to clean the toilet today? Count that.
Right. Did you make them redo the dishes because they didn't do it right the first time? Well, guess what? That was a learning opportunity. We're not doing that again.
Right. Or did they spend the morning laying on the ground watching ants work?
Right. That's the Charlotte Mason thing again, right? Mm-hmm. They're observing. They're watching. They're observing nature. She was big on observing nature.
Yeah,
just watching nature. And so it is a lifestyle of learning and teaching your children how to chase their curiosity. And if the kids want to know something, all right, let's grab the encyclopedias and look it up.
Yes,
you know, we do a lot of in dictionary work, and people dictionaries, who uses dictionaries anymore? You know, we use dictionaries. We look up words.
I love dictionaries.
And we compare definitions. Mm-hmm. And we compare definitions from different dictionaries. Because, told you I have an encyclopedia problem. I also have a dictionary problem.
I don't call that a problem.
I have one thesaurus, but it's a pretty amazing one. But I would like a few more thesauruses as well.
So, well, I don't know how many there are out there. You might have the only ones.
It's a pretty cool thesaurus. But,
yeah, aren't those extinct?
Right. They died. Yeah. That's what I made a joke about somebody thinking a thesaurus was a dinosaur the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I love reference books. Total nerd. But
it is a homeschooler's sickness.
It really is. But I think that it's awesome. And just surround yourself with books. And there was a quote I loved, and I don't remember who said it, but it basically said, surround yourself with books. Surround yourself with more books than you could ever read in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if you ever get to read every single book on the shelf, or if you even get to crack one open. The fact is, it's there if you want it to be.
Yeah.
And you know that book exists, and it's available. But there's something about surrounding yourself with all those books and just knowing they're there. Like, you just never know. I mean, I probably have books that we're never going to use for things, but it's like, you don't know. It's a library book, so right. I'm getting a back. $5, like, who cares? That's the thing. And parents, don't overthink it. And I think that's the biggest thing that everybody does, because like you said, they're stepping out of that situation, and the only thing that they've ever known is that, right? They left that. That's they
yes.
went through that institution. Their kids are going through that institution. Their parents went through that institution. And this is the only thing that generations of us have ever experienced.
Right.
So when you step outside of that, it feels like you're free falling. And
yes.
For me, I guess it's a little bit different because I came out of government school, but my children came out of a private school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit different. And I already saw the difference in the education and the way things were handled between the two. And I just needed a few years to realize, get smacked in the head and realize that you can't duplicate school at home, no matter what. You just can't. It's not enjoyable. It should be enjoyable.
Well, I think that no matter what you start out with, it's a constantly evolving process. You, just because one thing worked one year, you might think, oh, now we got it. And next year it doesn't because the kids are older or develop different interests, or something about your lifestyle changed. So also you have to be flexible. Don't think that there is going to come a day when you go, yes, now we have it figured out. Don't be working right toward that.
Flexibility is absolutely pivotal. You've got to be flexible. And your days are going to be weird, right?
Like, yes.
Now that you're available, your days are going to be strange. You're just going to have to be flexible, right? Because now it's like, oh shoot, I better go grocery shopping now. We've got music and sports and all this thing, right? That's the other thing that, like we said earlier, we talked about the socialization myth. Oh my gosh. I wish I had time in my day to socialize my children, like between like music lessons and
right.
different sports things and children's church at night or whatever, you know, youth group.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. There was times it's like I didn't stop running around. It's like my kids are always out doing something with somebody, always doing something.
Yes, and they have those opportunities because they're not in school 8 hours a day and they're not exhausted from school. So they can do other things that are actually real life.
Yes, it was amazing. And they had a lot of amazing opportunities because of it. And socialization, that's the biggest myth out there, is that homeschoolers are not properly socialized. And almost brought out my inner Tim Hawkins there. If you have anybody, you know, where he does that little nefarious properly socialized.
Yes, yes.
So,
well, I think that with two veteran homeschoolers sitting here, we could probably pretty much cover all the topics and be here for a really long time. but maybe we should just wrap it up and maybe one last word or two of advice. And then I would say find some help. Find some people who are doing it. And if where you said, you know, keep it simple, if you go to somebody for help and they start out with, well, okay, here's the curriculum that you need and you need to get this, 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 and this. Then you go, oh, I think I hear my mother calling, and find someone else who will just tell you, breathe, take the time, don't replicate school.
Exactly. I want to help you do it. Look, especially if you have to go down to one income and you've been a two income family,
mm-hmm.
I want to be able to homeschool as cheap as humanly possible.
Yes.
And that is absolutely doable. Even my math curriculum that I have, that is my biggest purchase with all my homeschool curriculum. That's the most expensive. However, you can get Life of Fred used, or Life of Fred Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
You can get those books used from homeschoolers that are finished, and they're done. Their last ones flew the nest and they don't need these books anymore. So they're selling them, or some sell them to be able to afford the next in the series. And so you can go and look at the Life of Fred Facebook groups for that, or you could just decide to start chipping at it away and buying the series a little bit at a time, like I did. And but that was my biggest expense, because really library books, you're already paying for the books.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up with taxes. So
yeah, if you can find a library that still has books that you want.
Exactly, which is difficult.
Yes.
And actually, some libraries actually do carry Life of Fred. So that's kind of that's kind of fun. But so you can do a lot. Libraries are going to be your lifesaver. And I do recommend saving yourself all the money your first year of homeschooling and just doing unit studies, whether that's how you want to stick. If you don't want to continue with unit studies beyond that, that's fine. But that is the best way for you and your children to learn and to de-school and to get out of that mindset of rigid, from this time to this time we do this, and from this time to this time we do this, and yada, 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 and we're going to learn this by this time. And it's just too much. And that's just not how kids are. And let your boys move. Let them move. And you know what? My kids used to do school. They build forts in the living room and do school in their forts. And
yeah.
So, you know, or outside in the dirt, they'd go play in the dirt, and we'd be doing school with them playing in the dirt. And just let your boys move, because you cannot, boys are not designed to sit still. They're little balls of energy.
Yep.
And they're going to get themselves in more trouble if you force them to sit still. Do not force your boys to sit still. Allow them to move. And it might drive you crazy. You're trying to read a story and they're driving their truck through the living room. Guess what? They're still listening.
They heard you. Yeah.
They heard you. And so let your boys move. That would be the biggest thing. And, you know, and they're going to eat. So be prepared. Your grocery budget's going to go up a little. Homeschoolers.
Yeah.
24/7.
Right.
Don't stop eating ever.
Right. Well, I think that's something that could be a whole different subject, but your kids always eat. It's just that we're so used to getting them out of the house so we don't actually have to feed them that kind of comes as a shock. But, you know, look, here you are doing family stuff and feeding your own children. There's some freedom in that, too.
There is. So lots of resources on my website. There's lots of articles, too. And like, I've got an article called Dear New Homeschool Parent. Okay.
Good.
So I've got lots of different things that I've said. So we're not reinventing the wheel here. But and a lot of things that we've actually talked about are mentioned in there, too. And that's, again, wyhomeschool.com. And I really want to help as many parents in this journey as possible. We want to make this transition smooth, guys. Right now, we're up against a lot of evil, and we didn't even address critical race theory, Diane.
Right.
Just terrible things coming down the pike. And we got to remember, I read those quotes from Lenin, Stalin, and Marx. Their dream was government education.
Yes, and the government schools have been patiently chipping away at us for 150 years so that we don't even notice.
And even John Dewey said, it's not going to happen overnight. You got to be patient.
Right, and they have been.
Right, and what did he do? He remarketed the Communist Manifesto into a pretty little package that was palatable to the Americans. And then they ended up using that as a textbook to instruct teachers how to teach, right? And To Kill Mockingbird, what did Scout was told, we don't write in the first grade. You learn to write in the third grade. And you need to tell your parents to quit teaching, your dad to quit teaching how to read, because you should not have to how to read.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And what did her brother say? Jem said, Scout, it's just the new ways. It's the Dewey Decimal System, right? He called it the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah.
Funny in the book. But that's what it was, right? They were reconditioning teachers, because the teacher, Miss Caroline, was fresh out of college.
Yep.
And she was taught ways. And the new ways were, we do this thing at this age, and we do this thing at that age, and this is how we do it, and this is the sequence, and your dad is not qualified to teach you how to read. Okay, and that's something that parents have to take home and consider, that this has been chipped away at for a very long time. And they are patient. That's the thing with progressives. Progressives are okay with slow.
Yes.
But you got to save your kids. And like I said, Proverbs 22:6, which ways do you want them trained up in that they don't depart from?
Yes.
That's the question to ask yourself.
My youngest is 34. And so I am now helping homeschool my grandkids, but I am getting as involved as I can in the local homeschool group, because I feel like I'm at the position where the older women should be teaching the younger. And this is just a cause that I can't let go of. So I'm always listening for other ways that I can help people get free, because I do believe everyone should be homeschooling. There's a way to figure it out. If everybody would do it, we could figure it out.
Right. I agree. And we've got people in our community too that did the same. Their kids are grown and they're still there around to in our homeschool groups to be a mentor and to help. And I think that's very, very important. And it's crucial. And, you know, it's like biblical, you know, that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women.
Yeah. But I'm afraid that a lot of people, once they're done homeschooling for 20 years, they just kind of take a deep sigh of relief and walk away.
Right.
And I have also encountered quite a bit of resistance to needing help. Thanks anyway. I can figure it out. I can go online and read blogs.
Right.
People who are floundering at the same rate that I am.
Exactly. And here's the other thing. Guess what? Reading that blog, they're not going to help you when you're pulling your hair out and you need someone to take the kids in. We should have mentioned that it's okay to need a break.
Yes.
We should have mentioned that. But
Well, I don't think we could get it all in today. There's just too much because how do you tell somebody how to homeschool? One day at a time, 1 hour at a time.
I don't know how much you know about what Diane did with what she calls foofy, the further up and further in.
Oh, I like that.
When she was homeschooling pretty much by herself because I was gone all day long and half of the night working, soldiering, whatever it was, she needed some curriculum. She decided to do a unit study on C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. And she collected that stuff and then found someone who was interested in publishing it. It's gone through a couple of printings, and every few months we get another little check there.
Little, oh, really? Little is the operative word.
they're not big, but this has been 20 years it's been out there. Yeah, it's called Further Up and Further In. She very seldom will even tell people, but yes, she wrote the curriculum. She got it published, and it has helped out countless people in the past. Diane doesn't brag on herself, but I can. This girl knows what she's talking about.
Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'll have to look and see now. I'm curious to see if that's the one we use.
Well, have you ever heard of the Prairie Primer?
Yes.
Okay, the woman who wrote that published mine. And so you find it on the Cadron Creek Christian curriculum. She did the Prairie Primer, which is, the little house books. And then she did Where the Brook and River Meet, which is Anne of Green Gables. And she had those two out when she published mine. My resistance to publishing more stuff is that I have a really strong resistance to charging homeschoolers money and telling them that they need my stuff. you need me to do this for you, and I don't want to do it for them. I want to show them how.
I know, maybe we could do a free class sometime, but see if maybe churches could help. Like, obviously not all the classes aren't free, so free classes are going to cost somebody something.
Right, right. Cheap, inexpensive classes.
Expensive, because free always costs somebody something. So
yes.
I think that that's the thing. Like I said, my idea is I want the church to step up, and I want the church to start figuring out taking up an additional, what's the additional offering that some churches do, where they do they do the regular offering and then they do like a secondary.
Like when there's a missionary coming or something.
Yeah, like even for the benevolent fund or whatever, right? So mm-hmm. What if they had an offering dedicated to the helping the children of the community, not just the children of the church. Children of the church first, right? Because, you got to take care of your own backyard before you can worry about your neighbors. But children of the church first, but then extending that outward to the community. And if churches would do that and take up money to help parents who maybe they can't, maybe there's a weird custody thing and they cannot homeschool, mm-hmm. right? Legally, there's just no way.
Right.
Maybe a private school is an option. And that the parent can't afford the tuition and the other parent's not going to pay for the tuition. So what if there was a way to make an effort where if the parent can afford to do 10%, we can cover the rest mm-hmm. or whatever. There has to be something keeping the parent accountable.
Right.
That.
Right.
There's got to be something. It can't be given. Nothing can be just given blanket because the parents it has to be a sacrifice. There still has to be a sacrifice to that.
Yes. I would absolutely be willing to help with some kind of if we have to go around and speak to every church in the state or whatever, because it should start there. I mean, churches used to do the schools and the hospitals and all any kind of welfare, and we've just dropped it all into the government's lap.
The churches aren't stepping up. The churches are not providing, hey, you guys can use our basement, and we've got all these volunteers willing to act as child care givers and tutors during the day while you work. Nobody's doing that. And the church is not doing it, and the church is falling flat. And the whole reason that our system is the way it is right now is because the church stayed silent. They let the government silence them because they're all 501c3 churches, and they just kept their mouth shut. Mm-hmm. And that has been the downfall, and that's a travesty. But I really do think the church dropped the ball.
The private school I taught in was actually a Lutheran school. When the year I started, there were 31 kids, but I was there for 10 years, and it just kept getting fewer and fewer and fewer. And now I think I haven't been there for 4 years, but I heard that last year they had 11 kids. And jeez. Part of the problem is that the members of the church don't believe in it. They send their kids to public school and they say, we have good schools here. We just don't see the need to do this, to spend the money. And we had people on the board who were there, who got on the board to protect the church's finances from having to pay any more for the school. They wanted to be the firewall between us and the church's money. And I couldn't believe that. Eventually it was just, I can't do this anymore. And I've been tutoring at home, and I'm helping my daughter because she has to work full time now, and just trying to get where I can meet people and say, I will help you. And I'm not talking about charging you hundreds of dollars.
This is for all of us. This isn't for me. This isn't for you. This is not even for the family, the one family that might be directly. This is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is ridiculous. And if we just let them encroach here and encroach there, and that doesn't affect me, that affects that family. No, this is how it starts. We got to stand up and fight against this crap. Very few people want to actually do it.
Right.
That's that thing.
Well, and that's the way it's been with the whole COVID thing and the vaccine and whatever else, is that they just come at us one at a time, and nobody wants to be the example. And, you know, just having one person go down for everybody doesn't accomplish anything. But if everybody would get together and say, okay, now come at 100 of us instead, mm-hmm. it would be different.
I'm just going to suggest, after having listened to you guys, that you need to do this on a regular basis, like every couple, 3 weeks. Sit down and have a little discussion and pointers and that sort of thing. Part of the reason I say this is, just as you know, your kids all learn differently. Mm-hmm. And other parents learn differently as well. Some of them are going to sit down and read the articles, and some of them are just not going to be prone to do that. But they might listen to you guys talking through the same things.
Right.
It just adds a whole nother dimension to it that I think is very valuable.
My goal is to help as many people get their kids out of the system as humanly possible.
Yes, and I have the same goal, but it has been very frustrating trying to figure out, where are they? How do I get to the people who actually want to know?